This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. One of the things that we often have seasonally is the problem with fruit flies, and they last all the time. And I don't know about you, but I hate those little buggers. Here are 10 best ways to get rid of pesky fruit flies. When it comes to banishing fruit flies, these simple do-it-yourself and store-bought methods are quick and painless. Well, for you, anyway. Not too good for the poor little fruit flies. Stocking your home with fresh produce has a ton of benefits, but the pesky fruit flies that it attracts are not among them. Since fruit flies are drawn to ripened fruits and vegetables, you might find them flying around your kitchen when you left out your items for a little too long. Actually, I found one last night. The bad news is that simply shooing them in the way won't get rid of them, and you can drive yourself mad chasing them around trying to squash them in midair. The good news, however, is that we've got the scoop on how to get rid of fruit flies for good. Dealing with other pests, too? Once you've got the fruit fly sorted out, there's other ways, other things we could talk about at another time. Where do fruit flies come from? Believe it or not, fruit flies are usually brought in by you. Yes, you. If one isn't lingering on the produce you brought home, then you could have picked it up a piece of fruit on which a female has already laid her eggs. Either way, they most likely hitch a ride home in your grocery bag. Once they've snuck into your home, their breeding process begins, if it hasn't already started. They breed almost as soon as they land, laying eggs underneath the surface of your precious produce. No matter where they breed, you want to act fast. Female fruit flies can lay up to 500 eggs at a time, which can hatch within just 24 hours. Gross! Pro tip. Think about throwing away infested produce is enough to get rid of these pests? Think again. Fruit flies can and will continue breeding within trash bags, drains, and garbage disposals. Be sure to throw away the rotten produce before your little friends move in for good. What's the difference between fruit flies and gnats? These tiny flying pests are commonly mistaken for one another, but there are a few differences. For instance, fruit flies have a rounded body that ranges from tan to black and large red eyes. They feed on ripe fruit and do not have biting mouth parts. Gnats, on the other hand, look like small mosquitoes with their long black bodies and dangling legs. Female gnats feed on blood, so you can expect some pretty itchy bug bites if you have gnats in your home. Gnats, by the way, get into your house via soil, so your new potted plant may be the culprit. If you happen to get bitten, try these home remedies for bug bites, which we won't show, but I'll talk about that later, that actually work. What's the fastest way to get rid of fruit flies? Fortunately, there are plenty of ways to get rid of fruit flies, from do-it-yourself methods to store-bought options. Eliminating these pests can actually be quick and easy. Once you've gotten rid of them, keep them away by regularly cleaning your countertops and sink drains, as well as quickly and thoroughly attending to spills. Also, wash your produce as soon as you get home to remove any eggs that may have already been laid. And lastly, either use or throw away any produce that is overly ripe or rotting. Now that you know the best practices moving forward, here's how to get rid of fruit flies in your home ASAP. Apple cider vinegar. This method is the easiest since it only requires one ingredient. Pour some apple cider vinegar into a small glass or jar. Then cover the top with plastic wrap and secure it with a rubber band. Using a toothpick, poke a few tiny holes in the plastic wrap and set it out on the counter. The fruit-based vinegar will attract fruit flies, and once they're inside, they won't be able to get back out. Apple cider vinegar, dish soap, and hot water. Squirt a little dish soap into a glass. Add a little apple cider vinegar until the glass is one-third full. Let your tap run until the water is steaming hot, then blast it into the glass so a thick layer of bubbles form on top. Once again, the flies are attracted to the apple cider vinegar. Meanwhile, the dish soap works as cut the surface tension to the vinegar, causing the fruit flies to fall in and drown, and there are no lifeguards there either. Rotten fruit. You don't have any apple cider vinegar handy? Try using the rotten fruit that's attracting them in the first place. Just put some chopped fruit that's past its prime in a bowl. Tightly cover the bowl with plastic wrap and secure with a rubber band. Using a toothpick, poke a few holes in the plastic. The holes should be large enough for the fruit flies to crawl in, but small enough to keep them from getting out. Looking for other ways to get rid of rotten fruit? You might want to learn how to compost. Beer and rotten banana. Put a piece of overly ripe or rotten banana in a jar. Pour enough beer to partially cover the banana. What a waste of good beer. Grab a cone-shaped coffee filter and poke a small hole in the bottom. Set on top of the jar, holding the paper over the edges of the jar to hold it in place, and trap the fruit flies. Milk, sugar, dish soap, and black pepper. Combine 1/2 cup milk with 2 teaspoons of granulated sugar. Heat on the stove or in the microwave, stirring occasionally until the sugar dissolves. Stir in a squirt of dish soap. This makes the surface of the liquid somewhat sticky so the fruit flies can't escape. And pour the mixture into a bowl. Sprinkle black pepper over the top. It can be hard to tell the difference between specks of black pepper and potential casualties, but you'll be pleasantly surprised by the lack of fruit flies in your home after you try this trick. Beer or wine? Don't want that last swig of beer or that last glass of wine? Don't dump it. Instead, leave the open bottle on the kitchen counter. The fruit flies will be drawn to the fermented liquid but won't be able to get back out, thanks to the bottleneck. While we're on the subject, take a look at these other chemical-free ways to get rid of household pests, and we won't do that. We'll do that another time. Taro fruit fly traps. If you're not into do-it-yourself traps, then try these ready-to-use traps from Taro, which lures in fruit flies from a non-toxic food-based liquid. Once inside, the flies cannot escape. These traps come in packs of 2 and last up to 30 days. Aunt Fanny's Fly Punch Fruit Fly Trap. Another store-bought option is Aunt Fanny's Fly Punch Fruit Fly Trap. Isn't that a cool name? Uses a unique blend of specialized vinegar and ferment to attract fruit flies. Unlike the do-it-yourself method, there's no mixing or prep work involved. All you have to do is open the lid, place it on your counter, and let it do its thing. This trap lasts up to 30 days. When the deed is done, simply close the lid and toss it in the trash. Green Gobbler Fruit Fly Killer. Fruit flies can lay their eggs in your drain pipes, so if you're dealing with an infestation, you want to treat your pipes in addition to setting traps. Pour 1 cup of this Green Gobbler citronella-based gel down your drain to instantly kill fruit flies, drain flies, and sewer flies. Never heard of those. It's a non-caustic, non-corrosive formula, so it won't corrode your pipes, drains, and garbage disposal or septic system. With more than 4,400 five-star reviews on Amazon, this product has happy customers raving that it's amazing and worth every penny. That's, once again, Green Gobbler citronella-based gel. Zevo Instant Action Spray. Zevo's Instant Action Aerosol Spray will kill fruit flies and gnats on contact. It can be used on indoor surfaces such as kitchen counters or floor, as well as outside. It's made with plant-based oils, and when used as directed, it's safe for use around people and pets. Now, how about it? Upbeat story about a heroic act. These neighbors rushed to help a man and his son after they fell into a well. A father's worst nightmare came true when his child fell down a well. After jumping in after his son, he had to trust his toddler and a group of neighbors to save both of their lives. As the late afternoon sun beat down in his Rockport, Missouri farm last May, Brandon Leseberg finished feeding his cows and decided to call it a day. As they often did, his 2 sons, Louis 6 and Everett 3, tagged along. As they headed for the house, the Pooh boys ran ahead of their father, who stopped to close the gate. Louis paused at a water spigot atop an old well to quench his thirst. Unknown to the Leseburgs, the board covering the well had over time grown brittle. When Louis stepped on it, it caved in. Brandon had just finished latching the gate when he turned around and saw only his youngest son. "Where's Louis?" he shouted. "He fell in the hole," Everett said. Brandon, 37, quickly realized what had happened. "No," he thought, "Louis can barely swim." He ran to the well and heard Louis splashing and gurgling, trying not to drown. Quite a ways below, instinctively, he jumped in. As he fell some 70 feet down the 24-inch-wide brick-lined well, Brandon heard Louis screaming. Somehow, Brandon managed to grab onto a pipe that ran down the side of the well, which slowed his descent and kept him from crushing his son. Brandon hit the frigid water at the bottom of the well. He popped his head out of the water and grabbed Louis, who was panicking and tried to stay afloat in the water that was too deep for either of them to stand. Knowing they could tread ice-cold water for only so long, Brandon hoisted his son onto his chest as he wedged his own legs and back against the narrow walls for support, his body still partially submerged. "All right, Dad, you can pull us out now," Louis said. If only it were that easy. There was no way he could climb out. The pipe he'd grabbed on during his fall was too slippery to be of any use. There was only one way out. Looking up to see Everett peering down at them from the top of the well, Brandon shouted, "Everett, You're going to have to be a big boy and save us. Run to the road and stand by the mailbox until someone stops. Tell them we need help. And Everett, stay off the road. Everett did as he was told. Minutes passed like hours as Brandon, clutching his shivering son, continued to arch his back and brace his shoulders and legs against the well's brick walls. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. He'd been banking on the kindness of strangers, but there was no sign of Everett. Where is he? Brandon said to himself as he wondered. Will we make it? Finally, Everett's face appeared over the well. Daddy, are you still down that hole? Yes. Did you get some help? No. Brandon's heart sank. Okay, honey. But you have to go back out on the road and get someone to stop, okay, Everett? Okay, Daddy. About 15 minutes later, Christy and Mark McKinney, nearby farmers, were driving to the Lesseburg farm instead, when they noticed Everett alone on the side of the road waving. They pulled over and asked if he was okay. My daddy's in a hole, he told them. The couple piled Everett into their pickup and drove to the farm, where the boy pointed to them to the well. Mark dialed 911 while Christy called another neighbor. After hearing from Christy, 45-year-old Dan Athan ran to his barn and grabbed a thick 85-foot rope. Then he and his son, Ryan, 13, sped up to the Lesberg farm. The pair leaped out of the pickup and sprinted to the well. Brandon, Dan shouted. It's Dan Athan. We're going to send a rope down to you. Brandon shouted back. Okay, I'll send Louie up first. That was a surprise. Dan had no idea that Louie was also in the well. There was no time to mull it over. Each second in the well meant a greater risk of hypothermia. After a call from Mark, Eric Duncan, who works on Brandon's farm, and his friend Jacob McKinney arrived to help. After Dan tossed the rope down the well, Brandon tied it around Louie, then shouted, "You can pull now!" The neighbors started hauling up Louie, but were puzzled by how heavy the small boy was. They gave another hard tug, and something seemed to break free, and the men hoisted Louie up and out of the well. When he emerged, they were shocked to see wires wrapped around his arm. Louie had somehow gotten entangled on the well's pump and its wiring, which had weighed him down. But now he was safe. "You're out, buddy, you're out," said Eric, as others carefully unwrapped the tangled wires from Louie's arm. Then Eric rushed Louie to his pickup, where he bundled him in several hoodies and turned the heater up full blast. The neighbors now turned their attention to Brandon. But there was a hitch. He was a big guy, too heavy to pull out of the well using just the rope, as they had done with Louie. Waiting for the emergency rescue team to arrive might have been a wise move, but who knew when it would show up? Besides, their friend was freezing down there. Of course they were going to get him out. After a brief confab, they decided to use the foundation of the old windmill that stood over the wall as a hoist to help pull Brandon up. They tossed down one end of the rope, and he tied it around himself. "I'm ready to go," he shouted. After looping their end of the rope over the windmill frame, each of the five neighbors grabbed a portion of rope and began pulling. Brandon helped by gripping the well's pipe as best he could as he ascended toward the circle of blue sky at the top. "Hang on, Brandon," the team shouted as they hoisted him up. 40-some minutes later, after he jumped into the well to save his son, Brandon emerged, cold and wet. Just as his neighbor reached out to grab him, he collapsed to the ground, exhausted. A minute later, the first responders arrived. Other than some nasty scratches, Brandon was fine. Louis, though, suffered hypothermia, as well as a deep bruising from the wires that had entangled him. He also had punctured a lung, which doctors told Brandon was likely a result of the rope around his chest. Still, he survived, and was healthy enough to return to school a week later. While all the rescuers have been hailed as heroes, Dan Athan isn't buying it. "We're just neighbors helping neighbors," he says, before shining the spotlight on someone else. If there's a hero in this story, it's 3-year-old Everett. He's a real lifesaver. Dear reader, this is from the Chief Content Officer, Jason Burmeister. I've never heard of that title. That's interesting. He is a, looks like he's probably in his 40s, maybe early 50s. Got a red hair and a red beard. Looks almost like a Viking with glasses. "I have moved more than any rational person should during a lifetime. But wherever I've lived, I've always found the same thing. Good people. Despite what we hear about the mood across the country, I found that people still look out for each other in neighborhoods everywhere. You can count on someone to help shovel snow, carry groceries, or haul a stroller up the stairs. Every community I've lived in has the block party organizer, the volunteer coach, someone who sets up a little free library, and that one person who gives out full-size candy bars on Halloween. How do my kids always find you? We're here to celebrate those people. In Good Neighbors, which is an article we'll read later, we look at special people bringing communities together through thoughtful acts, friendly words, and in one case, a life-saving rescue, which we just read about. We also share your stories about someone stepping in with a helping hand and turning from a neighbor to a lifelong friend. For a wonderful story on this, be sure to read The Hole in the Fence, about a child's friendship with an unseen neighbor. Now I want to hear more about your neighborhood. Every town has a place that lifts people up. Maybe it's a local diner or a bookstore that creates common ground for people of different backgrounds. Maybe it's a community center that helps folks during tough times, such as a pandemic or a natural disaster, or just a streak of bad luck. We have launched our search for the nicest place in America in 2022 and want to hear about the place you found that makes life better for the people around you. Let's share our stories and remind each other that you can find kindness close to home, often right next door. And you can visit rd.com/nicest and tell us your story. Letters to the editor. On past issues. Little Magazine Big Stories. I've come to clean your shoes from your collection of top stories from the Reader's Digest archives in February, reminding me of my brother-in-law's passing. We were flooded with teary-eyed visitors bearing casseroles and desserts, and soon there wasn't a paper towel, tissue, or paper plate left in the house. Since then, I visit the bereaved. I always bring paper products. They're always appreciated. That's cool. Rita Larkin, Kayser, Marquin, Missouri. Reader's Digest saved my life. And my mom, add my mom to your list of readers who found medical help in Reader's Digest pages in February. She once answered what seems to be the problem with her symptoms, likely diagnosis and treatment. The doctor laughed and asked how she was so sure. She said, I read about it in the Reader's Digest. And guess what? She was correct. Denise Theory, Alexandria, Kentucky. What roots means to me. Henry Louis Gates, Jr., writing about roots, author Alex Haley, reminded me of watching the TV miniseries with my family. We discussed it so often that it made a deep impression on our 4-year-old daughter's understanding of the word roots. While tugging on some separate weeds, she exclaimed, Boy, these sure have a lot of ancestors. Janet Key, Annadale, Minnesota. 13 Things. I found your story on cryptocurrency interesting topic. It's such a hot topic. However, the author states that Samsung is a Japanese company, which is actually South Korean. As a Samsung employee of over 20 years, I feel obligated to clarify. Chandelin Cam, Sunnyvale, California. Growing Hope. Jane Goodall's story, Growing Hope, about the promising resilience of nature, certainly did its job. Sometimes hope comes from nature surviving at the physical edge of extinction. Bristlecone pines survive the highest mountain elevations of North America. They are short, scraggly, and gnarled, and appear barely alive. Yet there is one in California, Tenu National Forest, that's nearly 5,000 years old. You can't help walking through a grove of bristlecone pines without having hope for nature. Thomas Stracker, Pendleton, South Carolina. How much to know how much to tip? You're right to champion good tipping. During the pandemic, our favorite server brought out a pizza we were picking up. Aware she probably wasn't getting many tips, we tipped $40. Choking up, she explained it was all she needed to pay her electric bill. Cynthia Hazard, Panama City, Florida. Warning. This fruit may obfuscate. After reading a story about made-up word, obfuscate, residents in our senior community chose it for our word-in-a-word game. In 1 hour, we found 223 words with 4 or more letters within obfuscate. Any challenges want to take us on? Sue Molyneux, Torrington, Connecticut. In airing out our dirty laundry. New rules of laundry. Says to wash clothes in warm water, and the desert cold water is warmer than warm half of the year. Newcomers often ask something broken. In cool weather, I'll use warm. Otherwise, I stick with cold. Joan Berlaris, Palm Desert, California. The laundry guy must have a desk job if his weekly wash can be done in a day on express. On our farm, the washer runs every day on the extra dirt cycle, if you want the cow dirt out, that is. Colette Sigler-Staley in Reynoldsville, Indiana. World of Good, Reasons to Smile. The fur flies. And there's a picture of a hockey rink, and there's a hockey player with his skates and his stick piling on top of a huge pile of stuffed animals, some of them big, some of them small. Hockey usually isn't associated with the warm fuzzies. But on January 22nd, after the American Hockey League's Hershey Bears scored their first goal of the night, fans celebrated by throwing stuffed animals on the ice. Not tens, not hundreds, but 52,341 toys. The Bears have hoisted an annual teddy bear toss since 2001, donating the toys to local children's charities. It took crews more than 30 minutes to clear the ice, a result of what the Bears announcer called sweet, cuddly mayhem. And it's just unbelievable. The pile is taller than the player. He's about halfway up the pile, and you can still see the stuffed animals flying through the air as people throw them on the thing. 52,000 stuffed animals. That's amazing. Everyday heroes. Ghost boat. There was no one aboard the pleasure craft that almost T-bowed them, so father and son went fishing for answers. And there's a picture of two men. One looks like he's a young man, probably in his 20s, and his father looks like he probably is in his 40s. And they're wearing one wearing a plaid shirt, one wearing a blue shirt, and both of them in shorts and deck shoes. And they got a bunch of fish living out. It was 11:30 a.m., and the fishing so far had been a bust. Still floating on the water 40 miles north of the North Carolina coast was a great way to spend a lazy July day. Calm seas, clear skies, hint of a breeze. Not another boat in sight. Until now. Andrew Sherman, a 50-year-old investment advisor from Roanoke, Virginia, spotted a speck on the horizon. As the speck approached, it started to look like a boat. Jack, he yelled to his son, a 21-year-old Naval Academy midshipman, some yahoo straight at us. Unbelievable. Miles of open ocean, this idiot was on a course to T-bone them. Andrew steered their boat up a couple of lengths just as the interloper whizzed by their stern. The Sherman stared incredulously. Four fishing lines out, music blaring, your average recreational fishing crap, except there wasn't a soul in sight. The idiot must have gone below, leaving his boat cruising along at about 10 miles an hour. Follow it, Jack, Andrew said. Jack hit the gas. Andrew gave several blasts on an air horn. Hey! Hey! The Sherman shouted. Nothing. A horrifying new thought took shape. The captain had got below all right and suffered a heart attack. Father and son switched places, and Andrew maneuvered their boat alongside the other, while Jack leaped onto the other boat's deck. He turned the ignition, bringing the boat to a stop, then ventured down into the cabin. He came back up a moment later. Empty, he said. Stunned, father and son said in unison, It's a ghost boat. Andrew called the ghost guard. Man overboard, he told them, then supplied the coordinates. The two men could have left it at that, but they were curious. What happened to the captain? Locating the boat's GPS system, they searched its history log. The missing captain had marked points along his route to indicate good fishing spots. Then the points abruptly stopped a few miles back. With Andrew piloting the ghost boat and Jack driving their own craft, they headed for the last point. From there, the two boats made ever-enlarging circles for the next hour. I ran north a bit, then south. Then I ran back up north again and then south again, says Andrew. They were searching for what he feared would be a body. What they didn't know was that the ghost boat's owner was alive in the water and growing weary. 2 hours later, Sasha Scheller, a construction contractor, had been fishing for mahi mahi when nature called. He leaned over the starboard side to relieve himself, zipped up, turned back toward the helm, and slipped. Suddenly he was in the water. He grasped at the boat, but the smooth hull went gliding along his palms. He grabbed wildly for the swim ladder, but it slipped between his fingers. In dumbstruck horror, he watched his boat zoom off, taking his life jacket with it. His only hope was to paddle 3 miles back where he'd last seen other boats. When Scheller eventually spotted a vessel in the distance, it appeared to be maneuvering oddly, coming straight at him, then turning suddenly and heading back out. It made no sense. Nevertheless, this was his best chance at being saved. He began to kick wildly, making the biggest splashes possible. The next thing you know, he says, the boat doesn't turn away. It aims right at me. Only when it sidled up to him did it dawn on Scheller. That's my boat. You have no idea how happy I am to see you, Andrew Sherman said, hauling him aboard. Other than leg cramps, Scheller was fine, and grateful the Shermans had taken the time to search for him. Other boaters had heard the call on the Coast Guard on their radios, he says, but only the Shermans stayed on the scene. That evening when he got home, Andrew's wife asked him how his day had gone. It was a slow day catching fish, he told her, but we did catch a man. Life cycles. And there's a picture of a young boy with wearing a helmet with looks like a dragon scales across the top of it. And he's in a three-wheeler, and it looks like it might have a battery. I'll read the article and tell you. And the gentleman is showing him how to make it work. About 15 years ago, Andrew McClinton, an entrepreneur and avid cyclist, was riding his bike in Austin, Texas, when he thought about a friend's 12-year-old son. The boy had never known the joy of biking because he's from hydrocephalus, a buildup in fluid in the brain that often causes balance disturbances. When he got home, McClendon, now 60, went online and found a three-wheel recumbent bike with a seatbelt, perfect for a child with balance issues. Soon the boy was pedaling around the street with his peers, having fun and getting exercise. But there was more, as McClendon gleaned from his friend's reaction. To see his son interacting with other kids, McClendon said, I'll never forget the smile on his face. That smile launched McClendon Family Foundation. Funded by donations, the group works with pediatric rehab clinics to find children who can benefit from owning an adaptive bike and to help craft each bike to the particular needs of a child. A bike may include a headrest, a shoulder harness, a seatbelt, a caregiver steering seat, a caregiver steering and braking mechanism in the back. The bikes are expensive, $3,000 to $4,000, and that's what the foundation steeps manufacturers discount. For kids lucky to get one, they're a life changer. We work with a 14-year-old who had spina bifida, says McClendon. She spent most days on the couch watching TV. Soon after she got her bike, she was training for special needs triathlons. In a magazine interview, she said, I always knew there was an athlete in me. So far, the foundation has given away 450 bikes. That's just a start. I do a lot of things. I run a lot of companies, McClendon said. But getting these kids their bike is the most important thing that I do. Everyday Miracles. Breaking ground. And there's a cartoon of a bowling ball being thrown through a bunch of toolboxes. The steps at the back of David Olson's house in Norton Shores, Michigan, were crumbling and had to go. So one day last July, Olson decided to start the demo job himself. Olson yanked the first cinder block up with his hands. He took a step back, surprised to see that the ground underneath was sand, not dirt. Even more surprising, there were three bowling balls in the hole he'd made. No way, Olson said out loud. He'd recently joined two Facebook groups about people making strange discoveries, and now he'd made one of his own. He posted some pictures to Facebook, then continued his work. All afternoon, Olson shoveled out sand and bowling balls. I had to get to the bottom, he says. I couldn't stop. As Olson reached the last step, his whole body ached. He counted the balls and was stunned to get 158 bowling balls. Where did they come from? Muskegon, Michigan, only a few miles from where Olson lives in Norton Shores, is home to the headquarters of Brunswick Bowling Products. The balls Olson dug up are Brunswick, so the dots were easy to connect. But that didn't explain how many of them got into the ground behind his house. A local woman named Judy Hepler had a theory. Her husband, Mike Hepler, had worked in the Muskegon plant for 48 years, testing bowling balls to make sure they were perfectly round and dense. Those that weren't landed in the dumpster behind the factory. Mike, who died in 2009, told Judy that sometimes homeowners would just take discarded balls to use as filler for their backyards. Sand and bowling balls wouldn't pass any town code these days, but the combination is structurally sound, relatively speaking. Most highways are built using the same basic principle, with pavement over a rock foundation. Mike had cared deeply about his job, but he also grumbled about it. Judy remembers when their grandson was young, Mike would tell the little guys stories of needling his bosses. So Judy wasn't shocked that someone had found 158 bowling balls, plus four others found later, behind a house. No, what left her in disbelief was who found them. Because her grandson, the one who had listened to all those stories about goofing on Brunswick managing, that boy was David Olson. And that wasn't the end of it. Weeks after posting his find on Facebook, Olson heard from someone at a local restaurant who asked to use the balls in what was billed as a Flintstones bowling tournament, where participants would palm and chuck balls at pins set up on the street. In exchange, Olson and his wife could play for free. The Olsons have three young kids. It can be hard to find time for just the two of them, so they got a babysitter and went on a rare dinner date. Neither of them had bowled in years, but they eked out a win in their first matchup. Then they won again, and again. As David and Megan Olson kept winning, they started to believe that these bowling balls were more than just a bizarre backyard discovery. David thought they must have had an advantage, since he had found the balls. Since they left that night with their championship trophy, they were a little weirded out. That makes it feel like fate, David says. I feel the universe is telling me that our family should go bowling. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports and Consumer Reports Insights. the top box of chocolates. And there's two things here that really would have been appropriate if I'd read them last week, and I apologize because Mother's Day has passed, and these kind of things would be great for Mother's Day. So if you wanted to give your mother or your motherly friends a late gift, these might be an idea for you. The top box of chocolates. Buying fancy chocolates can feel like a gamble. You hope to unwrap pretty treats that also taste great, but you might get a not-so-yummy selection of confections instead. To help you find chocolates taste good as they look, our staffers sampled 9 popular and new-to-the-scene box brands between $10 and $50. Boy, that must have been a tough job. Whether you're buying these as gifts or just treating yourself to these, 4 won't disappoint. The editor's pick is Dandelion Chocolate Singly Origin Truffle Collection, $50 for 15 confections. CR's take. Rich, complex choices decorated with delicate gold print arrayed in an elegant box. These are a chocolate lover's dream. San Francisco-based Dandelion sources its own cocoa beans from places such as Colombia and Madagascar, which the company gives greater control of the quality of its product. Rather than flavored fillings, these chocolates are all ganaches, meaning the insides are smooth mixtures of chocolate and cream. Colorful and tasty. Formosa 9 Bonbon Box, $36 for 9 confections, and they are pretty. CR's take. They're almost too pretty to eat, but we did anyway. Our tasters were wowed by the incredible presentation of shapes and colors in this box, and the shapes range from round to square to star-shaped and are red, green, yellow, and multicolored. Take a bite and you discover the coatings are eggshell thin, revealing delicious fillings and stunning flavors. We especially liked one bonbon with a shape like a tiny coffee cup, filled with an airy, coffee-flavored ganache. Unique, sophisticated flavors. Vintage's Exotic Truffle Collection, $34 once again for 9 confections. CR's take. The Vosges Bock of Chocolate offers cool, experimented flavor combinations such as absinthe with coconut, dark chocolate with ginger and wasabi, white chocolate with olive oil. Two things you'll need to eat these quickly because they have a shelf life of just 14 days, and they should be stored in your refrigerator. Curate your own box. Theo Chocolate Custom Confection Box, $25 for 12 confections. TR's take. Theo Chocolate is a sophisticated read less sweet with more traditional fillings such as cherry, hazelnut, mint, and caramel. 6 of the 10 confections we tasted were caramel-based. You can also choose the flavors you want to include in each box, unlike some of the other brands which offer a predetermined mix. Lost your phone? Here's what to do. Oh, before we do that, let me do the other thing that's kind of Mother's Day, and that's what a $55 bouquet really looks like. Gorgeous fresh flowers delivered to your doorstep. That's the promise of online floral deliver services, a $5.3 billion industry in the U.S. But are you or your special someone receiving a bouquet as a fab as the one pictured on the website? To find out, we ordered floral arrangements priced at $55 or less from 6 popular services to be delivered to CR staffers across the U.S. Our goal was to judge whether the bouquets looked like the ones pictured online. We also considered the ease of ordering and delivering process and how much you're charged once all additional fees are added. And there's pictures here of a beautiful bunch of flowers, and the resulting thing looks almost identical to the picture on the ad. Rose editor's pick, Rose Goes Bouquet from Farm Girl Flowers. Initial price $55. Total price was $87 because there was $25 of shipping plus tax. Our recipients were wowed by Farm Girl Flowers. The blooms themselves mirrored what was on the website. They arrived wrapped in wax paper and a burlap cloth instead of a spacious box. The order did not include the vase that they show it here. The arrangements we received had both blooms and buds, which means they lasted for well over a week as the flowers opened up each day. Pretty and mostly fresh, the unicorn from Urban Stems. Initial price was $50. Total price was $76. $15 in shipping plus tax. And this has a bunch of roses in it, and it really looked kind of pretty. CR's take. We bought 2, the unicorn bouquets, and had them set to different locations. They arrived in a box. The order did not include the vase, which are shown in the picture. Both look reasonably similar to the website's photo and presentation and color. The one bouquet arrived fresher than the other. The first bouquet arrived in excellent condition and lasted for well over a week and a half. The second bouquet arrived in relatively good shape, but with one slightly brown rose. By day 2, more brown edges appeared on other flowers in the second bouquet. By the end of day 6, the roses were almost all wilted. Disappointing display. And there's a picture here of a very gorgeous display, and what they received distantly does not look very good. Warm Welcome Bouquet Deluxe from ProFlowers. Initial price was $47. Total price was $67, $13.98 shipping plus tax. These flowers, which you order with a vase by selecting the deluxe option, look far less lush than the ones shown on the website and came with a slightly smaller glass vase. What's more, a few of the roses were slightly discolored, torn, or wilted, and both bouquets came with one flower that had a broken stem. Neither bouquet lasted longer than 5 days before becoming too wilted and brown to be displayed. Now we'll do the lost phone. Lost phone, here's what you do. The sooner you act, the better your chances of retrieving your phone or securing your data. Step 1. Call the phone ASAP. Call or text your phone from someone else's phone and listen for the ring ping. If you don't hear it, if you're previously unable to find my phone service, log into it from a secure device such as your laptop. Use these devices to make your phone play a loud sound, which may help you or others locate it. You can also remotely lock the screen and have it display a number to reach you at. If you're worried that the phone might fall into the wrong hands, there's also an option to erase the data on it remotely. Wiping the phone means you'll lose any photos stored locally in the device, but you will still have access to anything you synced with your computer, iCloud, or other cloud storage device. Step 2. Report the loss to your service provider. Let your mobile carrier know that your phone has been lost or stolen. If you suspect theft, the provider can suspend service, thus preventing someone from using the device on his network. It may also be able to mark the phone as unusable, even with a new carrier or a different SIM card. Step 3. Change your important passwords. Use your computer to log into every account you had on your phone and change your passwords. Start with your email account and the financial and shopping accounts that have your credit card on file, such as Amazon or your bank, and quickly move on to social networks. Step 4. Notify the police. Reporting a loss to the police launches an official recovery attempt and can speed up the insurance claim process, if you have insurance. Your credit card issuer may also need a police report to dispute fraudulent charges. Step 5. If you recover a phone, consider wiping it. You never know what malicious app or spyware somewhere may have installed while the phone was gone, especially if returned days later by someone you don't know. Use the Reset Everything option on your settings. Before you wipe it, though, check your computer and cloud service to make sure what you have copies of your photos and videos. 3 ways to safeguard your phone now before it's lost. Add a password. Even if you unlock your phone using facial recognition or your fingerprint, you should also add a strong password. Enable Find My Phone. These services can help pinpoint on a map where the lost phone is hiding. Make sure that location tracking GPS is also turned on. Know your phone's unique ID phone number. A smartphone has a special serial number etched into its circuits. When you report a stolen phone to the police, you may be asked this number. To find your ID number, look under Settings or dial 06 from your phone. The number should, that's #06 from your phone. The number should pop up on the screen. Write it down and store it in a safe place. And time travel. Organizing. 1905, William C. Benkert patents the shoe trees, a wooden structure designed to hold the shape of your shoes when they're not on your feet. That's kind of interesting. 1947, adjustable height shelving is an exciting convenience in fridges, but only 2 of the 12 new models we test actually have them, including the old GE. In 1954, new bed sheets made of nylon are selling out across the U.S. Our tests find that they're both comfy and durable. Another plus, when folded, they take up a fraction of the space cotton sheets do. 1964, see our test and likes the Dynamo Home Label Maker, which creates custom labels on plastic tapes. These could be affixed to the storage boxes, tools, and jars, and more. Who has owned one of those? I know I have. 1978, the Container Store, now a popular national retailer devoted to helping people organize, is founded in Dallas. In 1981, we test top-loading washing machines, the most popular kind sold, and note that many provide a smooth top, ideal for folding clothes. 1996, see our staffers assemble closet organizing kits, then test their strength. A big surprise. The $50 Storage Pride particle board kit is just as strong as the $400 professionally installed kit made by Closet Factory. 2003, Marie Kondo starts her tidying business at the age of 19 in Tokyo. Today, her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, 10 Street Press, in 2014, is a bestseller in the U.S. In 2015, we shared tips on how to organize an overstuffed garage, including the best way to mount walls to the wall, tools to the wall for a neater workstation. And in 2022, our experts tackle 7 clutter challenges, including messy closets, junk drawers, and paper piles. And that's on page 30, which we'll talk about, for more smart organizing helpers like these bins. And here's something that's quite interesting, and probably going to see more of these if you let your dog out or your cat out. GPS pet trackers. Want to give your more time outdoors this summer, either in your yard or off-leash? You might want to try a pet tracker, which can relay your pet's whereabouts in real time to your smartphone. Most pet trackers, which attach to your dog's collar, allow you to create a safe zone around the perimeter of your home, so you'll be notified if your dog leaves that zone. Handy if your pet has been known to hop the fence or dig under it. Some trackers also let you designate trackers danger zones nearby busy streets, for example, to alert you if your dog goes near them. Another benefit, many of the devices double as a fitness tracker, helping you set and achieve daily exercise goals for your pet based on its breed, weight, and age. The CR Lab team tested 7 pet trackers, evaluating their tracking ability, ease of setup, including installing and connecting the app, and ease of use, how easy they are to charge and attach to a dog's collar. In addition to our lab testing, we had a dog owner spend several weeks using all of the devices to track his dog. Here's what we found. It's worth investing in a GPS tracker that also has cellular service. Trackers that don't impose a recurring cellular service fee, up to $20 per month, may seem like a better deal, but we found their tracking abilities are far more limited than those that use both GPS and cellular. The GPS-only Petfron Below, for example, had a limited range between just 2/3 of a mile up to 3.5 miles. But models with both GPS and cellular, such as all of the recommended models shown here, extended service to anywhere there was cell service. The mapping feature is great, but not perfect. These trackers typically could geolocate every once every few minutes, partly by design in order to preserve battery power, and are approximate, but good enough to help you find a lost pet. Learn how to use the device and app before you really need to. Even on the best models we tested, some features aren't intuitive, and you don't want to figure them out while frantically searching for a missing pet. And Tractive GPS Dog LTE for $50, scored a 97. Got a 5.5 out of tracking, 5.5 out of ease of use, and 5.5 for the ease of setup. And FI Series 2, $150, got a 94. It also got all fives. And Whistle While You Go Explore, 115. That got a 94, and it got everything in ease of setup, but in 5.5 and 5, except for ease of setup. It only got a 4 and 5 out of that. For $30, the GPS Cube real-time, for $30, it got a 93, which was pretty good. Ease of use was not quite a top score. Link Smart Pet, $135, got a 91. It also had a very low ease of use score. Petfron Tracker for $235, got a 60, got a 2.5 on tracking, a 5 out of 5 on ease of use, and a 4 out of 5 on ease of setup. Boy, that's terrible for that much money. Paw Scout Smart Version 2.5 for $15, got a 29. Only got a 1.5 on trackings, 2.5 on ease of use. Ease of setup was 5 out of 5. That's kind of a poor return. Kitchen Space Savers. Have limited counter and cabinet space? This roundup of slim, sleek appliances will fit into a smaller kitchen without sacrificing performance. Nespresso Enza Mini for a compact coffee maker for $150. Sitting near the very top of our pod coffee maker ratings, this 9x5x13-inch mini quickly delivers coffee or espresso into your cup. Nespresso offers a wide variety of coffee pods, which the company will recycle. It's got an 89 score. Small but mighty toaster, the Breville Bitmore for $80. This two-slice toaster tops our ratings and made near-perfect toast in our test, which, whether you prefer it lightly golden or dark brown, and even though it's only 8 by 11 inches, it can still hold a sliced bagel. That scored a 92. Low-profile microwave, the Gallons GLC for $80. This 18x14-inch model ranks highest for small microwaves we've tested. It's super quiet and exacts at evenly reheating food in our test. Got a 65. blender and food processor, Cuisinart Velocity Ultra Trio, $150. This blender is easy to use, which takes up only 7.9 inches of your countertop, also comes with a food processor attachments and individual smoothie containers. The 3-cup food processor attachment, that's got a 65. This comes with the blender and attaches to the same base. It's great at slicing, shredding, and pureeing foods, but it's a little noisy, partly why it receives a good rating rather than a very good one. Stacking pad and pawn set. Kenmore Arlington Metallic at $120. This 12-piece set it stacks neatly inside your cabinets. Just turn the lids upside down, and it looks like the lids are padded, which is really nice. It's got a deep skillet, a deep pot, a flat skillet, a small pot, a smaller skillet, and an even smaller pot. And that's a pretty good-looking set, too. It's got it's red, so it's really pretty. May is also the best time to buy bike helmets, blenders, strollers, and exterior paints. And then we've got some recalls. BMW vehicles. BMW has called recall for all 917,000 vehicles because of a short circuit may cause a fall. The recalled vehicles include the 2000-18, 2013 1 Series Coupe and Convertible, the 2000-2013 3 Series Coupe, and the convertible, and basically it's every car that they've got. I mean, it's, you were talking about thousands. Drivers may first notice smoke near the engine compartment, the smell of burning plastic, an illuminated check engine light. What to do? BMW has not yet developed a solution for this problem, but will notify owners of the recall by mail, and once a remedy is developed, instruct owners on how to get a free repair. If you already had a repair performed at your own expense prior to the recall notification, you may be eligible for reimbursement. For details, call BMW at 800-525-7417. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration campaign number for this recall is 22V119. Mushi & Company pacifiers. Mushi & Company is recalling about 334,000 Frigg silicone pacifiers because the base of the silicone nipple has a fine slit that can cause the nipple to detach from the plastic shield, posing a choking hazard, I guess so. The pacifiers were sold at Spearmint Love, TJ Maxx, Little Tulips, and Olivia & Jade Company stores, and online at mushi.com and Amazon from April 2021 through December 2021 for about $8 for a single pacifier and about $15 for a pack of two. Stop using the pacifier and contact Mushi & Company at 877-687-4431 or go to mushi.com/pages/recalls for details and to get a full refund or a credit. Harbor Freight Tools Roller Seats. Harbor Freight Tools is recalling about 500,000 Pittsburgh Automotive pneumatic roller seats because the connection from the seat to the seat post can break, posing a fall hazard. The seats were sold at Harbor Freight Tools nationwide and online at harborfreight.com from July 2014 through September 2021 for about $30. Stop using the seat and return it to the nearest Harbor Freight Tools store for a free replacement or a full refund in the form of a gift card. Call 800-444-3353 or go to harborfreight.com/rollerseatrecall for details. MaxTrade Youth ATVs. MaxTrade is recalling about 140,000 MaxTrade Youth Coolers Mountaintops ATVs because they failed to comply with the requirement of the federal mandatory ATD safety standard, posing a risk of serious injury or death. The youth ATVs failed to meet the maximum speed limitations for vehicles intended for children ages 6, 10, and 12 years and older, or for teenagers, depending on the model. Additionally, for certain ATVs, the parking brakes do not prevent the movement of the vehicle. The ATVs were sold at MaxTrade dealers nationwide and online at Amazon, Family Go-Karts, Killer Motorsports, Superior Sports, Walmart.com, Youth Motorsports from January 2007 through January 21 for $370 to $1,100. Stop using the ATV, call 866-236-8993 or go to coolster.com/recall for details on how to get a free repair. Family Dollar Beach Loungers. Family Dollar is recalling about 38,000 beach loungers because they can collapse unexpectedly, posing an injury hazard if fingers get caught in the metal folding joints. The loungers were sold at Family Dollar stores and online at familydollar.com from January 2019 through September 2021 for about $25. Stop using the lounger, return it to a Family Dollar store for a full refund, or mail Family Dollar for instructions to make the beach lounger unusable, and then provide Family Dollar with a photo. Once confirmed, Family Dollar will issue a refund. Go to familydollar.com/products-recalls for details. Giant Bicycles. Giant Bicycles is recalling about 20,000 2021 Cypress DX Escape 3 Comfort, Live Flourish FS1, and Live All Right 3 Comfort Bicycles because the adjustable handlebar stem can become loose, posing fall and injury hazards. The bicycles were sold at authorized Giant Bicycle dealers nationwide and online at giantbicycles.com from October 2020 through October 21 for $590 to $690. Stop using the bicycle and go to giantbicycles.com/US/recall information for details on how to get on the inspection and free repair. In today's cooking things, there's a lot of people who are buying air fryers. I haven't gotten one yet, but I'm thinking about it. And these are the top-rated air fryers from our tests. With millions of units sold, air fryers are becoming Americans' favorite new kitchen appliance. And these models can do so much more than just fry. How an air fryer works, and there's a picture of inside of one. The food to be fried is placed inside a removable drawer or tray that slides into the heating unit below the controls. After you set the cooking time and temp, a heating element warms the cavity, typically in 5 minutes or less. An internal fan rapidly circulates hot air down around the food, operating just like the convection setting on many ovens. The contents of the basket crisp and cook. The quick-moving air reduces cooking times by at least 20%. Who would ever think you could create crispy fried foods without a vat of hot oil? Enter the air fryer. The golden promise of these countertop cookers is to deliver the texture of tasty, oil-laced treats without all the fat. It's an appliance that more households than ever are putting to work. In the past 2 years, over 25 million air fryers have been sold nationwide, according to the NPD Group, a margin research firm. And analysts predict that air fryer market will continue to grow upward of 66% in the next 5 years. When Philips, the Dutch conglomerate, introduced the first air fryers in 2010, the idea was simply to offer healthier versions of traditionally fried foods. And though air frying doesn't necessarily mean food cooked is a lot healthier, the process does have benefits in that area. Instead of submerging the food in fat, air fryers act like many convection ovens, using a fan to rapidly circulate hot air around the food, cooking it quickly and creating a crispy exterior that approximates the color and texture of traditional frying. Over the past decade, the product's functionality has evolved. No longer reserved for frozen fries, nuggets, and wings, the air fryer has proved to be capable of roasting chicken, making pizza, turning out perfectly cooked vegetables, and so much more. It has also enabled busy home cooks to rethink meal prep. An air fryer can bake and reheat most foods a fraction of the time it would take in your oven, thanks to how quickly it heats. Or on the stovetop, you can now find thousands of air fryer recipes online in cookbooks and on social media. And what's more, even as air fryers acquire more capabilities, their prices have steadily decreased. The reason? After the runaway success of Philips' original air fryer, more manufacturers entered this growing market. Philips remains a key player, but Chefman, Gourmet, Corsori, and even Amazon have gotten in on the trend. When Consumer Reports first started testing air fryers 5 years ago, one would easily run $350, a significant investment. Today, the highest-priced model in our ratings is $200, and it can go for as little as $50. At those prices, it's no wonder the air fryer has been a favorite kitchen appliance during the pandemic. How do you choose one of these small but mighty cookers from the dozens out there? To start, don't judge an air fryer's ability by its overall size or even by the capacity claimed by the manufacturer. Instead, the key is the size of the model's basket or tray, which determines how much food it can really handle. In CR's lab, our engineers measured each model's actual capacity, which frequently turns out to be less than what the manufacturer claims. We also gauge how noisy each model is, and some can be quite loud. It's how easy it is to clean, in some cases not easy at all, and the clarity and ease of its controls. The real difference among air fryers comes down to convenience. So we designed our test around that, says Larry Cuffio, the CR test engineer who oversees air fryer testing. All kinds of appliances manufacturers are hitching a ride on the air fryer bandwagon. Lately, we've been testing ranges, toaster ovens, and even multi-cookers that boast an air fryer reed convection setting. but the appeal of the standalone air fryer, due to its size and ability to heat food quicker than those other options, remains powerful, and our test indicates that these devices continue to get better with time. Our highest-rated air fryer has an overall score of 87, up more than 10 points from our top model a year ago. Well, the top model tested are the best small air fryer with Chefman Turbo Fryer at 4.5 quarts for $100. The Chefman Turbo Fryer is the latest shining star in our ratings. It aces our test for both noise and controls and earns a very good score for cleaning. One caveat, despite its larger claimed capacity, the interior basket measures just 2.7 quarts. The best large air fryer is the Gourmet GAF Digital at $80. Though its measured capacity is a generous 4.3 quarts, this Gourmet's overall dimensions are equivalent to some smaller capacity models, so you get ample cooking space and a pretty compact package. It earns excellent marks for controls and boasts a variety of presets. And for the best taste, best budget buy, the Tasty Express Tasty Crip 2.6 quart air fryer at $50. The Dash Express is on the small side with a measured capacity of just 1.9 quarts and its light weight of 6 pounds, making it easy to transfer from cabinet to countertop. It's also one of the quietest fryers in our ratings and carries a 2-year warranty. Most cover just a year. To get results, try this. No matter which model you choose, here are a few air fryer hacks to get perfectly cooked food. Pat the food dry before cooking. Remove excess moisture from unbreaded food that you want crispy or browned. Line the basket to cut down on the mess. Reusable and disposable air fryer liners work well with most foods. Avoid overfilling the basket. Crowd the basket or tray and you prevent the hot air from reaching all the food. Flip the food as it cooks. For bigger items such as chicken breast, use tongs to flick the food over, typically halfway through the cook time, for even results. For smaller pieces, take the basket out and give it a quick shake. Next week, we'll be covering Save Big on RX Drugs, which is kind of an important subject for most of us. For now, let's just go with a quick joke to close out the night. My wife is dismayed when my sister told us that our 2-year-old nephew was constantly asking to see me and never mentioning her. She could not figure out why a toddler would prefer his Uncle Chris, me, to his Aunt Chrissy, her. I basked in my status as the favorite until the next time we saw him when, with arms up and wide, he ran right past me to my wife, shouting, "Uncle Chris! Uncle Chris!" Chris Yodes, New York. It would be a lot easier if my therapist could just shadow me for a day. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.